The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and for the next hour, lots of interesting information, information that you might not normally be getting from your doctor. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And what's on the agenda?
Well, I'm trying to bring up this information now. It's lab work from a typical mainstream medicine, a product of mainstream medicine. When mainstream medicine did their job, they detected breast cancer. And then, we did some tests, and I just wanted to go over them because if you take mainstream medicine's approach, they'll detect a lot of breast cancer. If you take the alternative approach, whereby you're looking at a body's function and addressing those areas that need to be addressed from the context of preventing illness, which aren't being looked at all by mainstream medicine, you would see where perhaps this patient might have been helped. It's just sad to see that, it's like in black and white in front of your eyes, but they're not looking for it. They're just looking to find disease in people, instead of looking to identify the dysfunction, correct it, and thereby reduce the risk of disease.
So we have an entire healthcare system that is operating on that premise, put together a group of symptoms, name it a disease, and have the proper pharmaceutical, surgical, or heroic intervention, and then potentially declare the patient cured. So when you set up the system and you organize it for your particular ends, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with health. It has to do with business. And for people to understand that that's what this system is. It's very, very interesting, because I think that so many people have great faith in science. And last week I was reading an article, and it was denigrating the use of natural substances, particular foods to achieve a particular end, particular herbs to achieve a particular physical response. And it was very interesting, because the representative of the FDA said, well, we don't know how those substances work. They aren't scientifically proven. So you use those substances at your own risk. And the science behind the pharmaceuticals, he went on to say, was irrefutable. Well, when you start to analyze the origins of the scientific conclusions, as you say very often, Dr. Slavin, who paid for the scientific study? Who funded the research? And typically what you would find is there is a foregone conclusion in mind, and the research is set up in a particular way to reach the specific conclusion.
Well, another way of putting it is they only look for things they want to find.
There you go. I said it with many sentences, and there you go. They only look for things they want to find.
And I'm still trying to find this, but I can.
And I'm still trying to talk while you're searching.
You know, this is the difficulties you run into when one computer is on a different Windows level, and then you go to Windows 10. And you can't always find...
So they're not talking to one another?
Not yet.
Okay.
Just to make a long story short, because I've reviewed the files. So here again, the patient has no complaints, basically. Except she felt something in her axilla. So they evaluated and found it to be breast cancer.
They evaluated it with a mammogram, a digital mammogram, an ultrasound, and possibly a biopsy?
Yeah.
So all those different steps, and all of those costing a pretty significant amount of money.
Well, no, but that's you have to evaluate things properly. That's not the issue.
I'm all for evaluating things properly. I just don't want to evaluate them improperly.
Well, since the whole approach to healthcare is based on having a complaint, you see, that's why we're diagnosing things so late, because besides having felt something, the patient felt perfectly fine. So when we evaluated the patient, her CBC was normal. And that's typically what the mainstream does. They'll do a CBC and a chem panel. They were normal.
And that's usually the only lab evaluation during an annual physical. And you're not going to find anything of very great importance just reviewing those labs, because the ranges tend to be pretty meaningless.
Well, you have to be really sick to create abnormalities on the CBC and chem panel, and I've explained that before. Since doctors are trained in the hospital setting, they're used to seeing abnormal CBCs and chem panels a lot because they're dealing with the patients already in the hospital. But when you're dealing with patients who aren't in the hospital, those CBCs and chem panels offer you very little insight into what's going on with those patients.
And what is potentially developing is not necessarily going to be obvious on those tests.
So here are a few other things we looked at. Our CoQ10 levels were extremely low.
Wow. Okay.
Vitamin D levels below the range. We talk about the range being 30 to 100. You have a vitamin D level around 10.
Wow.
Vitamin C, basically undetectable, almost zero. Fish
oil. But she had no complaints.
No complaints.
Other than she had felt this lump. Very interesting.
Fish oil levels extremely low. That's the omega-3s. Then you have hormone levels where she's estrogen dominant. In other words, no progesterone to balance out the estrogen. And, of course, one of the cancer markers was elevated. So, you use that to evaluate the effectiveness of treatment. If you repeat the cancer marker and it goes down, you know the treatment is effective. So the point I'm making here is, here you had all these abnormalities, and I mentioned vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, fish oil, CoQ10.
What about zinc? Test that?
I don't recall offhand, but probably okay on that one. Magnesium was okay. I remember that. But the point is that very simple things to correct, and by correcting it, probably reducing their risk of developing serious illness. And it apparently doesn't really give you a warning sign. In other words, the first illness that she encounters is breast cancer. And this happens a lot to women. How many times do you hear the story, women perfectly healthy, they're diagnosed with breast cancer? Have you ever heard that?
Time and time again.
It's not
again.
Like they're sick leading up to breast cancer. They're being diagnosed with breast cancer. Nobody's identifying people at risk of developing breast cancer by addressing all these abnormalities that allow the body to, that undermine the body's immune system function and allows illness to come in.
It would be very interesting going to the American Cancer Society website and see what they might have to say with regard to breast cancer prevention. My guess is they wouldn't necessarily be saying to check coenzyme Q10 levels. They may be now saying vitamin D because that information is all over the place, mainstream media as well as the health media.
I can pretty much tell you what they say. They don't address breast cancer prevention at all because I've looked. But I'll look again. Maybe I missed something.
Okay. And then the Komen for the Cure, you know, raising a lot of money for cancer research. But the idea behind that cancer research is a cure for the disease after the disease has been diagnosed. And the truth of the matter is there's so much that we can do to prevent breast cancer and all types of cancer. And I go back to that very old book by Dr. Sam Epstein, and he talks about the politics of cancer and that this is very, very much a tug of war between the patients who are in the know and those pharmaceutical companies, the whole industry of cancer treatment.
So here's what the government has to say. This is at cancer.gov. It's called Breast Cancer Prevention. It says, cancer prevention is action taken to lower the chance of getting cancer. By preventing cancer, the number of new cases of cancer in a group or population is lowered. Hopefully, this will lower the number of deaths caused by cancer.
Isn't that a sad sentence?
Yeah.
Hopefully,
this will lower the
number of deaths?
I mean, this doesn't make any sense.
No.
If you lower the number of people getting cancer, wouldn't that automatically lower the number of deaths caused by cancer? I would think so, unless they do different math.
And so the hopefully, in my mind, puts some doubt in the reader's perception of what is to come in the article.
To prevent new cancers from starting, scientists look at risk factors and protective factors. Anything that increases your chance of developing cancer is called a cancer risk factor.
Okay, and so this is written for people at a third grade level? Is that, how would you interpret this writing? This is ridiculous.
It's called the patient version. One last sentence before the break, and we'll come back to this. Anything that decreases your chance of developing... decreases your chance of developing cancer is called a cancer protective factor. And then they go on to say some risk factors for cancer can be avoided, but many cannot. And we'll talk about those when we come back.
We'll talk about the ones they say you can't avoid. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back after this break.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. We've all heard the phrase, trust your gut. But did you know that your gut or your digestive function is critical to your overall health? Indigestion and irritable bowel can lead to chronic illness throughout the body. Take the steps to ensure your gut is healthy.
by getting nutrients to your body that are necessary to fight off infections and disease. Keep your gut healthy. Go to JanetCimarelli.com and set up a counseling appointment with me. I'll explain how you can change your diet and change your life.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin.
So we started off today's program just highlighting the deficiencies in mainstream medicine with regard to preventing illness. Basically, they look for illness, but they don't look for health. And by that, I mean, if you look for health, you look for all the necessary, at least necessary nutrient levels in one case, to make sure the person is healthy, like vitamin D, vitamin C, CoQ10, make sure their hormone levels are balanced. All these things play a role in making your body healthier. But they don't do that. What they do is just look for disease. So they do mammograms, and that's how they find breast cancer. But they didn't look to find the people at risk of developing breast cancer so they could intervene and prevent that from happening. So the government has a website talking about breast cancer prevention. And in order to prevent cancer, they say changing lifestyle or eating habits. It's interesting that they don't enumerate that. Avoiding things known to cause cancer.
And they don't tell you what any of these things
they
are?
They might. We'll go over to the next section. I don't know.
Okay.
Taking medicine to treat a precancerous condition. I'm thinking there they may be talking about Barrett's esophagus.
And that's how well do those medications work to prevent Barrett's esophagus?
Well, to prevent esophageal cancer coming from Barrett's esophagus.
And how well do the...
I don't know the statistics
the question.
On that. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me that they do a whole lot of good.
Or to keep cancer from starting. But specifically, this is the section where they talk about preventing breast cancer. Then they say breast cancer is a disease in which malignant cancer cells form in the tissue of the breast. Breast cancer is the second most common type of cancer in American women. And I think that's about all the information they tell you about preventing breast cancer. Now they go into
physiology.
Telling you, breast cancer screening, treatment, treatment during pregnancy, the genetics of breast and ovarian cancer. And by the way, genetics is a big topic these days.
And I will say diet and lifestyle trumps genes.
But the real topic is epigenetics. And that's the impact of the environment on your genes.
Which is huge. You think about the chemicals that are we are regularly exposed to on a daily basis.
So they didn't mention anything about nutrition. They didn't tell you what to do. It's no coincidence that's all left out because that's not what they do. They promote looking for breast cancer. They don't promote preventing breast cancer. And that was the best they could do. And that was cancer.gov. Now I'm looking at another website from the Mayo Clinic. So, I mean, and this is a good suggestion. Breast cancer prevention starts with healthy habits, such as limiting alcohol and staying physically active. So those are two good suggestions. So limit alcohol, don't smoke, be physically active. Breastfeeding plays a role. They talk about limiting the dose and duration of hormone therapy, specifically hormone replacement therapy after menopause.
What about birth control pills that are being prescribed to teenage girls to modify the impact of their monthly cycles?
Or to treat acne.
Right.
It's funny. They don't mention that. They don't. Don't take hormone replacement therapy for more than 3 to 5 years. They said it increases your risk of breast cancer. That's if you take the drug company's version of hormones, because their version of a hormone is not your body's version. If you follow your body and just imitate nature and use the bioidentical hormones in their natural ratios, then you don't see an increased risk of breast cancer. In fact, you see a decreased risk of breast cancer. Interestingly, the risk of breast cancer is there in even in women not taking hormone replacement therapy. It's in women who have a hormonal imbalance, meaning too much estrogen stimulation and not enough progesterone to balance it off. So when you look at that and they say, don't take hormone therapy, don't take drug company hormone therapy because it's not bioidentical. And then it says avoid exposure to radiation and environmental pollution. It's okay. So they talk about medical imaging methods such as CT scans. They don't mention the fact that mammograms are a concentrated, targeted dose of ionizing radiation focused specifically on your breast.
Focused specifically on traumatized breast cells from extreme compression. And let the record show I'm waving my cell phone around.
And then I remember about that patient I was describing with all the different risk factors. Her also was extremely insulin resistant, meaning her insulin levels were very high, which is another risk factor for cancer. I mean, none of this was, is it being addressed by mainstream medicine? So they get what they want. They want a lot of sick people so they can make money on them. So eating a healthy diet might decrease your risk of some types of cancer, as well as diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. For example, women who eat a Mediterranean diet supplemented with extra virgin olive oil and mixed nuts might have a reduced risk of breast cancer. The Mediterranean diet focuses on mostly plant-based foods, such as fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and nuts. People who follow the Mediterranean diet choose healthy fats like olive oil over butter and fish instead of red meat.
I'm sorry. I disagree.
I knew you were going to say something.
Thank goodness you knew that. Choose healthy fats like olive oil over butter and fish. Well, if you had decent butter, if you had butter from... I wasn't going to go to the grammar part of it.
Well, so they say choose olive oil over butter, and we realize that may not be the best advice, and fish instead of red meat. That
and
may
what
be
is
okay.
The base of Mediterranean diet? The fish. Protein source is fish. Yeah. So who wrote this? Did they know what a Mediterranean diet was?
And then maintaining a healthy weight is also a key factor in breast cancer prevention. So what does a healthy weight imply? Healthy weight implies
fitness,
proper diet, because you don't and not insulin resistance, because it's when you have elevated insulin levels that creates increases the body's storage of fat, because that's what insulin does. It stores fat. If you improve insulin sensitivity, then you can lose weight. So they're a little bit better here at the Mayo Clinic. But again, not giving too many specifics exactly what someone needs to do, but mainstream medicine isn't doing. It seems like you almost have to do it yourself if you want to stay healthy.
There's no question you must do it yourself. You have to have the interest in maintaining energy and wellness, and you do that by making specific lifestyle and diet choices, and you're not going to get high quality information from mainstream medicine in those two categories.
Okay, now we're making progress here. Now the Center for Disease Control says keep a healthy weight, exercise regularly, get enough sleep, another important point. They say don't drink alcohol or limit alcoholic drinks to no more than one a day. Here's another important one, avoid exposure to chemicals that can cause cancer. Problem with that is people don't know all the chemicals they're exposed to routinely because they're all around us. Reduce your exposure to radiation.
Get mammograms.
Well, they mentioned during medical tests like mammograms. Well, how do you reduce your exposure to radiation during a mammogram? I'm not sure how you do that.
Well,
I know how you do it. you get an MRI of your breast instead, or even better, a thermography.
Okay. And the other thing is to make sure that the iodine levels in your body are sufficient to be protective.
Then I say, if you are taking or have been told to take hormone replacement therapy or oral contraceptives, birth control pills, ask your doctor about the risks and find out if it's right for you. Well, the doctors don't know the risk. If they did, they would be measuring patients' hormones even without them taking any replacement, because they would find the imbalance. The risk is associated with creating hormonal imbalances and using artificial hormones. Also, breastfeed your babies if possible. And then they say, at least they...
Well, I'm going to, pardon me for interrupting on this one, but when many times the doctors are not, the obstetricians are not necessarily promoting to their pregnant patients how important breastfeeding is. So it isn't necessarily encouraged or supported. And unfortunately, then it goes in a responsibility area to the pediatricians how mom has to eat and how much a breastfeeding mother should be drinking. Critically important information that's very, very basic and not readily available from the medical aspect.
And then, Janet, they go on to say that although breast cancer screening cannot prevent breast cancer, although they promote it sometimes like that, it can help find breast cancer early when it's easier to treat. Talk to your doctor about which breast cancer screening tests are right for you and when you should have them. Remember, this is from the CDC. The problem is there have been numerous studies, not just one study, but a lot of studies showing that breast cancer screening does not save lives. So it's not detecting breast cancer at a stage that's easier to treat. And I'm not sure what they mean by treat. You can treat breast cancer at any stage. We're talking about cure, or we're talking about saving lives. And what the studies show, that breast cancer screening using yearly mammograms does not save lives. What might be a better approach is if you have patient screening, looking for deficiencies in vitamin D, vitamin C, fish oil, insulin resistance. If you did that kind of screening, then you probably have a better result than just doing mammograms and looking for breast cancer so you can treat them.
The relationship between risk of developing breast cancer and thyroid dysfunction is very, very well established. And unfortunately, the way mainstream medicine addresses thyroid situations is significantly lacking. So supporting thyroid adrenal and thyroid function as part of that overall hormone support is critically important. Your thyroid is meant to process excess estrogen out of your body. And if your thyroid is having trouble functioning, then that excess estrogen content is not properly and efficiently processed. Then if the estrogen is hanging out in your gut because you don't have the proper beneficial bacteria, once again, the estrogen reabsorbed, creating a problem. That music means that it is time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just a reminder, we're talking about supporting your good health. One of the ways to do that is with the super fruits. I'm sure all of our listeners have been made aware recently of acai and mangosteen and pomegranate and all of those very, very health-supporting super juices. Well, you want to avoid the sugar? You can use Jana Juice. Jana Juice is the easy to use 2-capsule version of the super fruit antioxidant formula. And you can find Jana Juice at Dr. Herb Slavin's office. Dr. Slavin?
Okay, I'm finally able to open up the file. And I just want to point out to Janet, the vitamin C level was 0.1. I mean, extremely low. You don't get much lower than 0.1. You know, the next step is zero. But people are routinely deficient in vitamin C. Zinc levels were in range, and selenium, copper, magnesium, vitamin A. But the standouts were the, you know, the estrogen dominance we're looking at here and the low vitamin C levels. And, you know, on this particular panel. And the thing I want to point out, these tests are all covered by insurance. This is not anything you have to pay for out of pocket so far. Who knows where healthcare is going as far as just covering disease treatments instead of disease, I like to say, early intervention, identifying diseases at its earliest stages, rather than waiting it to manifest itself as breast cancer. Breast cancer is an immune deficiency disorder. So let's see if I can find another test on this patient.
Okay, let me just say that the patient was 62 years old, and so postmenopausal. And I'm going to say in that time frame, let's say from 48 to 60, 62, in that range, there's a lot of hormonal upheaval and the body attempting to achieve balance and regulate hormones. And if during that time frame you are not using high quality foods, if you are not exercising, exercise is a really big aspect of this whole picture, because what are you doing during exercise? You're strengthening your muscles, which are healthy tissue. You have the potential to be breaking down fat, which is a repository of toxic debris. You are absolutely detoxifying during exercise. Very, very important to break a sweat. Very, very important to raise your heart and respiration rate. So all of those things are part of maintaining your body in a healthful state. And
allowing your body very gradually to achieve hormonal balance.
Okay, now we're going to look at some other tests. Now, the lipids on this patient were abnormal. When you see a lot of fats in the blood, it's really an indication not of eating too much cholesterol, but a high carbohydrate consumption.
Okay, so the triglycerides were elevated, which is an issue that is very easily corrected by modest changes in the diet. The HDL-LDL ratio is something that I'm always looking at in blood test results, Dr. Slavin, and hers was very poor. So the potential for inflammation with that high LDL is pretty important.
And then looking at inflammatory markers, fibrinogen and cardio-CRP are both elevated. These are not being routinely tested for. If you find that in the patient, you have to investigate what's causing it. Now, the number one pro-inflammatory factor that people are exposed to is sugar. So you have to, you know, investigate that as a potential reason, although it could be other things. You know, there are a lot of factors that can create inflammation, but it's something you don't want to have on a constant basis. A lot of times, patients will come in with elevated inflammatory markers that correct themselves the next time you check it. But if they're persistently elevated, you have to look into it further. You know, then I want to go into probably the most important panel we do is the metabolic panel, where we look at insulin levels and blood sugar, vitamin D, homocysteine, CoQ10, you know, these are, there's no excuse for them not to be normal. And it's all self-inflicted. That's the whole point. It's not a medication that's going to...
People don't know that they're inflicting this problem on themselves because their doctors aren't testing for it.
So as I mentioned, markedly elevated insulin levels. Hemoglobin A1C is elevated. That's your average blood sugar over a three-month period. So how do you correct that? Well, you cut back on the carbohydrates. That's how you improve insulin sensitivity. Remember we said the vitamin D level is the ideal range is, well, the range, not ideal, is 30 to 100, but optimally you want to be up around 80. This patient's at 11. Homocysteine slightly elevated, CoQ10 very low.
Now, mainstream medical practitioners looking at that homocysteine level would not give it a second glance. At 11, it is well within the reference range, which is up to 13. But ideally, what you want is 9 or under, and that's a pretty significant change from 13 to 9.
And then if you look at the thyroid panel, if you go to a mainstream practitioner that just does a TSH, he would say everything is fine. But if you, if you're a little more comprehensive, you would see, you would see in this patient that the free T3 level, your active thyroid hormone, was in the lower half of the range. But more importantly, reverse T3 is elevated, which means that you have a non-functioning thyroid hormone interfering with proper thyroid function. So, and then lastly, the omega-3 levels are low. So all we're saying is it doesn't hurt to improve your nutritional status because that's going to translate into a healthier person and probably more resilient to getting illness.
What do you say to the patients you see, Dr. Slavin, who say, I'm so tired of swallowing so many pills? Because when you are supporting therapeutically your nutrient levels, you do wind up swallowing a lot of different pills.
Well, I could say that swallow healthier foods, but even doing that, you're not going to get your optimum levels in some of the nutrients. So you decide, you want to swallow the supplements or swallow the medications later on.
There you go.
Or even worse, have them injected intravenously into your body. I mean, it's just, it's really trying to just stay healthy.
Dr. Slavin, do you want to talk about a test that you have in your office with regard to evaluating, evaluating overall health status and a lot of different, very minor but important evaluations of overall health. And what I'm talking about is that hair analysis test. It isn't a blood test, but very, very different from hair analysis tests that people might have been familiar with from 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is, 21st century technology here, looking at the hair follicle, and which is a reflection of living tissue in your body, and a lot of things can be determined from that. Not just, typically hair analysis was looking at heavy metals. I think in the hair itself as an excretory organ, but here we're looking at the hair follicle as a, you see, the hair itself is dead tissue. It's an excretory substance, whereas the hair follicle is living tissue. So this test looks at that, and they can make determinations as to how healthy your body is in the context of not just vitamins and minerals, but amino acids. But it could also give some insight into exposures to various environmental toxins as well.
Okay, so would that test be a reasonable follow-up for this patient? Because there have been obvious dysfunctions in certain blood levels that, very, very clear that there are things out of range. And I'll just point to the vitamin C level that was almost non-existent. Are you going to get a little bit better direction from that hair follicle test about where to focus your efforts, both dietary and supplemental?
Well, it only works for the patient that wants to be in charge, and they need the information in order to take charge. If you're being told by your physician everything is fine because all they did was a CBC and a chemistry panel, you say, well, good, everything is fine. I don't have to do anything differently. But if you really evaluate the patient a little bit better, a good example is, let's do it a different way. Let's use an airplane as an example. If your inspection of an airplane is basically you walk around the plane and you look at it, well, the wings are attached, the engines are where they're supposed to be, everything looks good. Or do you think it might be a better idea to do, x-ray the wings and make sure there are no stress issues or metal fatigue in the plane, which is what they do on a periodic basis. You can't see that with the naked eye. And that's what I'm saying. Just don't do the superficial tests. Do a little bit more that can find out issues before they become major issues. And unfortunately, the doctors aren't doing it because they're trained to prescribe drugs. They're not trained to keep people healthy.
So if you want the substantive pre-flight checklist, then Dr. Slavin and the Institute of Advanced Medicine is the place to go. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and I just want to let everybody know that Natural Doc Radio is made possible by AMT Centers, Advanced Medical Testing Centers, and that's the location where you can have your blood drawn for all of these different tests that give you a much more in-depth insight into how your body is functioning. And that's what we're talking about here on Natural Doc Radio. Functional medicine. How are all of your organs functioning? How's that entire human entity functioning? That's important.
Well, they use laboratories that specialize on these panels to identify problems. So this is what they do, as opposed to the chaos that people experience when they go to Quest or LabCorp. First of all, AMT centers, the personnel there are very familiar with all these tests. You go to LabCorp or Quest, they don't even know what you're talking about when you order these tests, because all they're used to doing is chem panels and CBCs. When you order a big panel, they make mistakes all the time. You go to AMT centers, they know what they're doing. They don't make the mistakes. And they get the tests done that are necessary to really determine your state of health.
Okay, so are some of these tests paid for by insurance?
All of them are.
All of them? Wow.
Obviously, you can get tests that aren't covered by insurance, unfortunately. But the majority of the tests we're talking about, all those tests are covered by insurance.
Okay. One of the things that I was thinking about, there is a test available at AMT centers that will evaluate your risk of developing colon cancer. Now, one of the things when I'm talking to people is I tell them the importance of their vitamin D level as regarding their risk of developing colon cancer. I tell them about an occult blood stool test because people in their 40s are being told by their doctors have a colonoscopy. A colonoscopy is an invasive test. Before you sign up for a colonoscopy, in my opinion, have your vitamin D level checked, do an occult blood stool test, and the test that AMT Centers does that evaluates your risk of colon cancer, what is that,
well,
Dr. Slavin?
That's a genetic test that they can tell you, genetically speaking, are you more or less predisposed to colon cancer? It doesn't take the place of a colonoscopy
or a stool test,
but it might help you make a decision. Should I delay that colonoscopy, or maybe I should be a little more proactive? So since we're talking about colon cancer, I want to see what the recommendations are for preventing colon cancer.
Okay, so they're saying get screened. And what are some of the screening approaches that are priorities?
Well, we're talking about preventing colon cancer. They say get screened. Well, when they talk about screening, they might talk about the genetic test, or they're talking about a stool test for blood. And you might find blood in the stool for other reasons besides colon cancer, like a polyp or it could be from hemorrhoids, even more commonly.
Okay, a colonoscopy every 10 years is the recommendation.
And a colonoscopy, also looking for polyps, because they say some of the polyps may be precancerous. Now, here, let's get into the important ones. Maintain a healthy weight.
I have a question about polyps. Polyps can come and go based on the diet. Is that a reasonable statement or not?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so maintain a healthy weight. And, you know, that's an overlap. You're going to see that across the board with any illness. Being overweight really means most likely that you're insulin resistant, and that condition increases the risk of many illnesses. Don't smoke. Now, I thought only lung cancer risk is reduced by not smoking, but you see.
Bladder cancer is a big connection, with smokers?
Smoking is a major cause of at least 14 different cancers, including colon cancer. Now, they say be physically active. Drink only moderately, if at all. Limit red meat, especially processed meat. Very important. What is processed meat? Bacon, sausage, bologna, for example. All the lunch meats.
Now, this is a controversial statement, in my opinion. Get enough calcium and vitamin D. And I routinely see people who have been told by their doctors to take 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day. This particular site is saying 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 1,000 units of vitamin D. 1,000 units of vitamin D in general. I never see that amount being sufficient to raise the vitamin D level to a protective level, let's say. And the calcium at 1,200, which is what they're suggesting, I think may be a contributing factor to calcifications where you don't want them, in your joints, in soft tissue, in your blood vessels. So very important that people understand if you're going to take calcium, you want to take it as part of the mix that will allow your body to process it properly. And one of the important aspects of that is balance it with magnesium and make sure that the acid in your digestive system, in your stomach, is sufficient to break down the calcium properly.
Remember, this is a mainstream site. So now they say consider taking a multivitamin with folate.
Oh.
I think they're deliberately telling you things to do that won't make a difference so that they can still make their money on treating people that get sick.
What do you think about the caution, avoid megadose vitamin A?
Megadose vitamins. Standard multivitamin is all you need. So how do you make sense out of all this? Test your levels. See if you're in the optimum range or not. Because every vitamin, especially when you buy them in the pharmacies or the bulk goods stores, you're not getting the highest quality vitamin. So you don't really know. First of all, you're probably getting synthetic vitamins to begin with. But you want to measure your levels to see if your body has adequate amounts to function optimally.
Take a look at your multivitamin. If they don't identify the source of the minerals, that is kind of a clue that the quality is poor. If they say magnesium oxide, if they say calcium carbonate, that's another clue that the quality is poor. If it says DL alpha tocopherol for the vitamin E, another clue, synthetic vitamin E, that is very, very poorly absorbed. Then I tell people go down below the supplement facts box into that other ingredients area and take a look for polyethylene glycol, polysorbate 80, talc, artificial colors, a variety of really undesirable substances that you don't necessarily want to be swallowing every day.
Now, in the American Cancer Society, when asked the question, can colorectal cancer be prevented? They say no, but maybe you could limit your risks about getting it, and they say, and these are all, this is all good advice, don't be overweight or obese, have physical activity. Certain diets can increase the risk, like eating red meat, processed meats, especially luncheon meats. Cooking meats at very high temperatures, frying, broiling, or grilling, could create a problem. Now, the good things are diets high in vegetables, fruits, and whole grains have been linked with a lower risk of colorectal cancer.
Thank goodness they said it in the right order. Vegetables first, fruits second, and then a little bit of whole grains.
And they say obviously avoid smoking and avoid excessive alcohol. Now, the risks they say you can't change are being older, having a history of polyps, having a history of inflammatory bowel disease.
Inflammatory bowel disease that you can control by correct choices in your diet.
Right. See, mainstream medicine doesn't correct it. They just manage it. Family history of colorectal cancer, having an inherited syndrome. There is a 5 to 10% of the people with genetic defects that increase their risk. But there are a lot people can do that they really aren't being made aware of, and the doctors aren't pushing them. The doctors are just pushing to diagnose you when you get the cancer, but they're not doing their job to letting you know that these are the risk factors that you have to address. People with type 2 or non-insulin dependent diabetes have an increased risk of colorectal cancer. Well, before you have type 2 diabetes, you have insulin resistance.
Dr. Slavin, what are we talking about tomorrow?
You tell me.
Okay, so we'll find out tomorrow morning what we're talking about. You've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been talking with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye.
I've been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.